Well, hello, everybody. Hello, precious saints tonight. Welcome to the Koine Greek class workbook sessions. We're going to get into chapter number 3 in the workbook tonight. I'll actually continue on in chapter number 3. This gets to be pretty interesting, if I can say the least, to that. And what I'm going to do tonight is I'm going to try to get through a few pages in the workbook, and then I'm going to I plan to come on here next weekend also and concentrate specifically on a particular page of this workbook, because we have to get some of these early principles really down in our minds. Otherwise, things could get rather confusing if we don't get some of these solid principles down in our minds, sincerely, all of us. So what I'm going to do tonight, do a slight amount of review, and then I'm going to go do page 15, 17, and 18. And this is what I wrote about page 16. I said this page I'm going to do next time because it's a separate ball of wax in and of itself. So the principles are very important to understand, and to understand what we're doing rather than just putting the answers down and then blowing by it and saying, well, I got the right answers, and keep on going. I got a lot of B's and A's that way in college, and about a month later, I forgot everything that I learned. We don't want to do that. So that's why it's important. I'm finding, as I study this more myself, that these first number of chapters in this textbook contain a heck of a lot of information that, you know, if they appear to be a little intricate and a little involved, that's because they are. So so what I'm going to do is I'm going to leave page number 16, you know, take that up next time, and maybe continue on with page 19 and then forward, you know. So what I'm going to do tonight is do a little review, slight review, and then do pages 15, 17, 18, you know, because there's a lot of information here, and we should know what we're doing rather than just put down the right answers. I would have us, in my mind, I'd like all of you to know how these answers come about. We can get the right answers, but if we don't know how they came about, it's kind of useless in a sense. So we can open up with a word of prayer and our prayer. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this period of time to study your Koine Greek of your precious New Testament. For in fact, the Word of God in this dark world is so very, very precious. We know that God Almighty has preserved His Word, that is the New Testament Scriptures, for over 1,900 years now. That in itself, I know personally, is an ultimate miracle, because Satan himself, no doubt through the Dark Ages and the Middle Ages, wanted to stamp out any knowledge of the Most High God, and especially His precious Word. And that's a matter of fact. So we in this latter times are very, very fortunate to have just complete words of God at our disposal for a minimal fee at any time, right and left. People died for us to have this ability, even if we might not know that, it's a fact. People died. They gave up their lives so that we could have the precious Word of God today in the English language. They were burned to death, choked to death. They were hunted like dogs. We should really know those things. We really should, because we're really spoiled. But at any rate, I believe that the Lord today is pouring out the knowledge of His Scriptures. He's giving human beings every opportunity to have His Word. And so there's going to be no excuse for human beings as we move into the latter times and as we move into the tribulation period and as we move into the time when the Lord will in fact return and man's day will be over, praise the Lord, and he's going to have the rod of judgment and he's going to how to live here according to his ways. And so even though people don't believe that and they run around thinking that they're God and they have all this power, they have another thing coming up. So we're thankful for that. We're thankful for our calling. It's beyond words. Our calling in the upon the heavens in Christ, the revealed sacred secret. These things are just beyond human words, but they are in fact true, and we are in fact chosen to know these things, and that in and of itself is a huge miracle, if you want to put it that way. I know that miracles aren't for today as far as a sign is concerned, and I don't use that word that way, but in fact, as far as his word is concerned, he is showing us a lot of truth. So, having said all that, we move to his Koine Greek here tonight. We pray for his blessing through the Holy Spirit, only that it'll help us understand the original scriptures of the New Testament, and we can delve into the beauty of further knowledge in the New Testament, for in fact the Koine Greek will bring that. And this we ask and pray in the Savior's name, the Creator of all things. He is all things, Christ Jesus the Lord. He came in the flesh. It's these truths are, the more and more we enumerate them, the more and more they become astounding. So, in his name we pray, amen. Okay, so, we're studying about Koine Greek verb forms. That's what chapter 3 in the text is all about. And we went into understanding how to analyze verb forms in the Koine Greek. We know that in order to parse a verb, that is to analyze a Koine sentence, phrase into its component parts, that's what parsing is, and then what the syntactic role of these verbs are. I mean, that sounds pretty hoity-toity, but it all does make sense. When you parse a verb, you're going to use six rules by how to understand it. We saw that last time. Syntax is the arrangement of these Koine forms and phrases to create well-formed sentences. So what we're doing is we're looking at the verbs in a Koine sentence. We're using six rules to do that. And then we can analyze these verbs, and then we can understand more correctly what the Holy Spirit had to say about these verbs in the Koine Greek. And that in itself is awesome. The six rules that we saw last time are person, number, mood, voice, tense, and aspect. And we really should understand those very well. What person is, what number is, what mood is, what voice is, what tense is, and what aspect is. Matter of fact, if you turn over to page 16, which we're going to do next time, and that I call its own ball of wax in and of itself, what is happening on page 16 is, in this workbook that is that the author or the author of this workbook is showing you the connection between tense and aspect. And that's very important because we have to get that nailed down in our minds. And let me just say this, it's not easy. I could say this if you turn to page 15 in the textbook, and you look at page 15, and you look at that chart, and I could ask you the question, all of you tonight, do you understand that chart perfectly? And I would bet the kitchen sink, it's relatively new and nice, that we don't understand that chart at all. And as a matter of fact, because it's kind of, you might understand a bit of it, I understand a bit of it, but I don't understand it, I would want to right off the top of my head. And that's what I want for all of us. So that's what page 16 is about in the workbook. And so I'm going to I'm going to enlighten you to the ideas of what I'm talking about, maybe before that's this night's over, by reading a few things back in the text again. All right, so let's move on page 15 in the workbook, and then I'm going to come back to this fact about tenses and aspect, and that chart on page 15 in the textbook, if that makes sense to you. Okay, now going back to page 15 in the workbook, gives us some exercise in conjugating the present active indicative form of Greek verbs. And what we're doing here is we are conjugating these verbs as to person and as to number. That is to say, first, second, and third person, whether it be singular or plural. So what this exercise on page 15 is about, it's about using two of the rules in parsing a Koine Greek verb. Again, the rules are to understand person, number, mood, voice, tense, and aspect. If you understand those six rules, and you have them in your mind pretty solid, you're going to be able to look at a Koine Greek verb form, and you're going to be able to analyze it. Now, is it possible for us to memorize everything that we're going over, talking about, speaking about, all these rules? Probably not, unless you've got a photographic memory. I don't. Thing of it is that I do know that the more, I say this a lot, that the more accustomed you are to the Koine Greek, the more you're going to learn it, the more you're going to know it, the more it's going to be normal to you. So that's very important. You're just going to have to, you're going to have to douse yourself with the Koine. Either if you don't do that, if you for the rest of the years that we're going to study this, if you peck at this, knit and peck at it, that's all you're really going to know, and you're not going to be solid. You're not going to be solid in it. So we got to get these rules all down. So six rules in the Koine that you should know what they are, so that you can dissect Koine Greek verb forms, and that's pretty good. Okay, so as far as the first two, person and number, that's what we're going to work on page number 15. And so we're going to conjugate the present active indicative of the form I send. And so let's go back to page 12. All right. Now, this is a lot of review again. We are coming up to an anniversary in March, I think it's the 27th, that we have spent 3 years in the Koine Greek. And 3 years, I know, you know, we were doing lessons of one every 6 weeks, which, you know, that's kind of interesting. But you know, in the text, we got up to lesson number nine. We've covered eight lessons in 3 years. And if you were going to college, well, that wouldn't happen. You know, but of course, in college, we would be doing this 3 times a week. Now, I've accelerated these lessons in the winter here, and I'm going to try to do so as much as I can, because it helps me too personally. Well, let's look on page 12. On page 12 in the box there, which is called a paradigm, in that gray box there, you see the particular roots of the root form, or the Koine form for I have, or ek. And then you see the person number suffix endings in the present indicative. And I'm not going to go into, of course, present is a tense, present tense, and I'm not going to go, well, I guess we will end up describing again what indicative is, which we have a number of times. But indicative is a mood, and it's also another way, another one of the six rules that we use to parse or to take apart a Koine Greek verb. But what we're doing on page 15 here is we're looking at person and number. Okay, and we know in the gray box on page 12 that we have six different endings. We have, like, let's say for the example, ek, or I have, we have echo, or echo, actually, it's pronounced that way. You can say that with me, echo, echo, because you have to understand that the accent is over the epsilon. It's not echo, it's echo in the first person singular. And then you have ekais, eke, echo, ekais, eke, and that is I have, you have, and he, she, or it has in first, second, and third person singular. And that's what we have there. And then if we go over to the other side, we have first, second, and third person plural as far as the suffix endings given to the root form of I have. So we have ekumen. It's not ekomen, it's ekumen. It's omicron, that's not O. And that's a major mistake that our society makes with omicron. Getting it perfect is ekumen. It's not ekomen, it's ekumen. Ekumen means we have first person plural. Then we have second person plural, which is ekata. Ekata, which means you all have. You all have in the plural. And then third person plural is ekousi. Ekousi. It's not ekousai. It's ekousi because, well, wait a minute. I got that wrong. It's ekousai because it's, well, wait a minute. Hold on a sec. Confused here. It's ekousi. Ekousi because it's not iota, it's iota. Let me go back and say that. They have in the third person plural of I have is ekousi because it's iota, not iota. The iota on the end of that form there is pronounced e, iota, not iota. So it's ekousi, ekousi. All right, so in this gray box here, or this paradigm, we have the present indicative active suffix endings in the first, second, and third person, singular and plural, of the Greek root form I have. I have, you have, he has. We have, you all have, they have. All right? And that's how you can identify, let's just say, all you learned was that gray box. Well, you would know in your Koine Greek scriptures what I have, you have, he has, we have, you all have, and they have look like. And you would understand how you got it. All right? So, using that principle, one of them, is going to help us understand how to teen. Now, you know, I mean, I could sit here and I could just rip through page 15 in the book. I could rip through it, give you all the answers, and just keep on going. But if we all don't understand, including myself, how we get there, it's going to be meaningless. We're just going to rip through it, and we're going to keep on going, and then 6 months from now, we're going to go, what? Duh? What? You know, what? What's going on here? We're not gonna understand the Koine Greek. We're just going to go, oh, yeah, I heard that, but I don't really understand it. Well, you know, that's ridiculous. We're going to waste our time. So I'm going to try, and it's going to take some time. I realize that in trying to teach this, and I'm trying to help the Lord, I'm trying to do the best I can. that the more I go back to it, the more I've got to go. The more I say to myself, "Hey, wait, we gotta really." Get down and dirty in this rather than just flashing over this, okay? So, whatever it takes, I do know that the, especially these, four or five, especially the first four lessons in this textbook, the smaller textbook, are, really, really, really important to get down in your head. And that you know them like the back of your hand, where it gets so sickening, you're sick of studying it. And maybe I'm going to do that. I don't know. I have to decide. But, I did realize that the author said that if we get through the first four lessons of this textbook and we know it cold, he said we've come a long way in the Koine. And I didn't really understand that. Weeks and weeks ago, but now I'm starting to understand it, that he teaches on one page some really involved material of the Koine Greek that we have to get down, and so we just don't want to flash over it, all right? So that's what we're doing. We're understanding how we get to these answers, not just have the answers and then keep on going, and then weeks later we go, "What? Yeah, I got that answer. I heard that, but I don't really know how we got there." We don't want to do that at all. All right? I'd rather have you, in my mind, get the first chapter of the text down in 4 years cold, and know, rather than going through 12 chapters of the textbook and you're saying, "What's going on here?" All right, so that's what I'm realizing here. And so we do know that the principle that has to be used on page 15 of the workbook, one of them exists on of the text. All right, another one has to do with understanding the future tense of Koine Greek verb forms. And that is to be found on page... the rules to that, we went over that, are to be found on page 19 and page 20 in the text. How do we... Like if we on page 15, if you go down to the third one and it says conjugate the future active indicative forms of "I have," well, you could say, "Well, wait a minute, that's different than the present active indicative forms, isn't it?" Well, how do we form the future? Well, we did go over this a number of times, but in order for you to understand how the future is formed, you have to understand pages 19 and pages 20 in the text. There's a couple of rules there, and then it talks about the future morpheme sigma that's added to the stem there. If you turn to page 19, do that once in the textbook. All right. You'll notice in the textbook on page 19, you have the root form lu, which means to loose, and then it says you add the future morpheme. A morpheme is the smallest particle of the Koine Greek language. You add lu with sigma, and then if you added the suffix ending amen, you'd get lusamen, and that means we will loose. We will loose, and the paradigm of that is in the gray box on page 18 over there. So you notice that to form the future forms of the Greek root use lu, you have to add a sigma. That's what they call the future form morpheme. And then you put on the suffixes, the indicative active suffixes that you learned on page 12. All right, and this all does make sense. It's like learning how to play complicated chess, you know, but you just keep on working with it. Keep on working with it. Keep on working with it until it becomes sickening. And, you know, I said this before about professional athletes. What they do before they go in to, like, let's say, a Super Bowl is they will practice until they are sick of it. And then they say, I am ready to go. And so that's what we have to do in the Koine. So in order to understand page 15 of the workbook, you have to understand page 12. A little bit about what mood is on page 12 and 13. You have to understand the present indicative active person number suffixes on page 12 in the gray box there. We went over that. And then you have to understand how to form the future form of these verb forms, and that's on page 19 and 20. And as a matter of fact, if we go to page 17 in the workbook, turn there, by the way, you're going to be analyzing Koine Greek verb forms in that particular manner. You're going to be analyzing active verb forms in the present, and you're going to be analyzing active verb forms in the future tense. And you're going to see how you get them, how we get there. All right, you can see that it says analyze, and it gives you an example of lusamen. Lusamen, which we already have seen, means we will loose in the first person plural. And then it breaks it down into the lexical morpheme, the future time morpheme, the connective vowel, connecting vowel, and the primary active suffix. Now this is, wow, this language is really nitpicky, you know, but it's what, you know, if you think about it, in the New Testament, what does the Lord say about his word? Well, in Corinthians, the Lord says word is spiritually discerned. Doesn't he? And he, the Holy Spirit through Paul says that in order for you to understand the Word of God in English, you have to have the Holy Spirit. Well, in order to understand the Word of God in the Koine, which is definitely spiritually discerned, you have to have the Holy Spirit. But let's say we put all of that together. And what we're getting to, what we're getting to is this. I mentioned that because the Holy Spirit works in us. Otherwise, we wouldn't know diddly about the Lord. We wouldn't know about his word. We wouldn't know about his son. We wouldn't know anything. And what I'm saying is I believe the Holy Spirit will help us learn the Koine also, because it'll bring out more of a richness of the spiritually discerned word of God. And that's, every time I come on here, that's what's in my brain and in my heart when I'm going into this. It's not, nobody said that good things are going to be easy, all right? So, and this is what the Holy Spirit used, the language, the Koine or the common Greek. That's what the Holy Spirit used to pen the New Testament through these men that we know. So, just remember that. Okay, so, also too, you'll notice on the bottom of page 15 in the workbook that we are supposed to conjugate the present indicative active forms for I am. And the verb form I am is in what we have studied and know to be a mu iota conjugation, which is a rarer conjugation than an omega conjugation as far as Koine Greek verb forms are concerned, and the mu iota conjugation of Koine Greek verb forms have their own specific rules. Alright, and we're going to see that. And we can prove that by going to page 22 and looking at the conjugation of the mu iota conjugated verb form for I am. You know, am, you are, he is, we are, you are, they are. Well, I am verb form is extremely important in the Koine Greek New Testament scriptures. Before Abraham was, I am. And that in itself, if you understand that statement, you understand some awesome truth about the Son of God. Before Abraham was, I am. And so, we can eventually read that in the Koine. Before Abraham was, I am. And we can see, we're going to, you know, like, you know, the author here, Dr. Black, you know, in studying the text I'm talking about, I might have done things a little bit differently. Who am I to say that? Does Dr. Black know more about the Koine than I do? Tremendously. So, as we go through his text, maybe he has a method to his madness. But, that's a joke, kind of. But, I would probably have put more scriptures, as we go through the text, the small book. But, you know, that's my opinion. But we can always go back to that. It's just going to take more work on my part. But that's okay, because, you know, we have to learn all of these tremendously solid fundamental truths first. Okay, so, going back to page 15 in the workbook. And, you know, so far, it took me a half an hour to explain how we're going to get through page 15 in the workbook. And see, again, I could have just blown through this and put the answers down and left all of the explanation to you and the textbook, but I don't think that's good. So let's go back. Page 15, and page 15 in the workbook. And you know, maybe we're going to get through page 15 and page 17 today. I don't know. You know, like, the thing of it is you got to understand how we get there. Okay. The root form for the Koine Greek for I send is pemp. Pi, epsilon, mu, pi. And so, if we conjugate, And you can see that on page 23 in your text. Turn to page 23 in your text. And you'll notice on page 23 in your it says vocabulary, the present and future active indicative principal part of omega verbs. All right, we know that there are two conjugation of verbs in the Koine Greek. The major one are omega verbs, and the minor are the mu iota verbs. Alright? Now, if you look under A, where it says present and future active indicative verbs, you'll find that, going down, you'll find the verb pempo. Pempo. P, epsilon, mu, P, omega. Pempo. And that's in the first person singular active indicative, and it means I sent. And then you look over next to it, and you'll see the form pempso, and you'll see that is the future form. I will send, and there's a reason why it's written that way, pempso, and that has to do with how you get the future form of pempo. All right, but going back to the conjugations, pempo is in the first person singular, pempo. And in the second person singular, we have pempes, P epsilon mu, P epsilon iota sigma, pempes. So, in conjugating on page 15, the present indicative in person and in number of I send, it should read this way. And I'm not going to go bother spelling this because I think you guys can get it. Okay, so in order to conjugate pempo I send in singular and plural in the first, second, and third persons, it would read this way. Pempo, pempes, pempe. I send, you send, he, she, or it sends. And in the plural, it would be pempamen, pempata, and pemposi, pemposi. That would be we send, you all send, and they send. That's how you would conjugate the form for I send using the rules as we went through on page 12, I believe, of the text. All right? I could ask the question, did that make sense to all of you? You're gonna have to put up an answer. All right, and if it doesn't make sense, just keep on. It should. I think we all can understand this. All of us can. All right. So next. We're supposed to conjugate on page 15 the present active indicative. And a present active indicative forms for I prepare. All right, and if we turn to page 23, and again, under the list for the present and future active indicative omega verbs, run down the list, and we know that we see that this is a Greek form in the first person singular for I prepare. And this is how it's pronounced. There's a rough breathing there. So it's pronounced hetoi, not etoi. The rough breathing is with an H. Hetoi madzo. And you notice that the last letter is a zeta. And it's pronounced like with a DZ sound. And the correct pronunciation of I prepare is hetoi madzo. Say it. Hetoi madzo, I prepare. And we notice that this is in the present active indicative. And then what we're going to do on the root of hetoi madzo is we're going to add the endings again to get the first, second, and third person singular, and to get the first, second, and third person plural. Alright, so going back to the workbook on page 15, this is how it would write out. First person singular, hetoi madzo. Second person singular, Hetoy Mad Zeis. Third person singular. Hetoy Mad Zei. I prepare. You prepare. He, she, or it prepares. Going over to the right side, we would have Hetoy Mazamin, which would be we prepare. Hetoy Mazata, which would be you all prepare. And Hetoy Mazusi, which would be they prepare. Hetoy Mazo, Hetoy Mazes, Hetoy Maze, Hetoy Mazamin, Hetoy Mazata, Hetoy Mazusi. I prepare, you prepare, he prepares. We prepare, you all prepare, they prepare. That's how you conjugate that verb in the present active indicative according to person and number. But now, we're going to conjugate the form in the future, not in the present, in the future active indicative form. I heal. Now, look on page 23 again for the future active indicative principal part for I heal. And you go down the page and you notice that for I heal in the present tense, it's therapeuo. In the future tense, it's therapeuso. Notice the sigma in there. Therapeuso. I will heal. Alright, so in conjugating the future tense of I heal, it's going to be different because you're going to be adding the future tense morpheme, sigma. A morpheme is just the smallest part of the Koine Greek written language. Turn to page 19. Alright? Turn to page 19. Look up into the middle of the page. We saw this before. We have lu, which means to loose. We have a sigma added, which is the future tense morpheme. So we have will loose, and then we have the connecting vowel, omicron, and then we have the suffix of men, loosamen, will loose, and it's in the future tense by adding the future tense part of sigma. Okay, so now if we go back to page 15 and in the workbook and page 23 in the text, we notice that on page 23 in the text, the future form in the first person for I heal or I will heal is therapeuso. Therapeuso. I will heal. So then in the workbook, you put that on the first line, therapeuso. I will heal. And then you add the present active indicative suffixes. I will heal. You will heal. He will heal. We will heal. you all will heal. They will heal. Alright, so let's go through that. I will heal is therapuso. Therapuso. We saw that. You will heal in the singular would be therapuses. Therapuses. He will heal in the third person singular. He, she, or it will heal would be therapuse. Therapuse. In the first person plural, we will heal. It would be therapusamen. Therapusamen. In the second person plural, you all will heal. It would be therapusita. Therapusita. And in the third person plural, they will heal. It would be therapusin. Therapususin, actually. Therapususin. They will heal. So we have they heal, and adding the future morpheme particle sigma, we can make it they will heal. They heal, they will heal. I heal, I will heal. You heal, you will heal. So now we know how to form the present and future forms of the active indicative of Greek verbs. Now, going down to the, you know, and you have to work with this. You have to work with the endings. You have to, you know, memorize the six endings. You know, the O, the ice, the A, the amen, the eta, and the usin, you know, to form the present indicative active, and then knowing that you add the future morpheme particle, sigma, will get you the future tense. So you've learned some good things. We've learned some good things. We are parsing, at least in person and number, and a bit intense, we are parsing verbs right now, which is excellent, all right? Now, for mu iota conjugations, what does that mean? There are, in Greek verbs, there are two major conjugations, one being a lot more major than the other one, the omega verbs, and then we have the mu iota verbs. Now, let's turn to page 22. On the top of page 22 in the textbook, I stated that mu iota verb forms have their own rules. Alright? They don't have the same rules that you saw for conjugating omega verbs. Alright? Now you notice this. Let's look at the top of page 22 and read it. It says the present indicative of Amy. Amy. Is that Haney or Amy? No, it's Amy. Amy, actually. Learn how to pronounce that. It's soft breathing. It's not hard breathing. You notice that the comma over the iota there is to the left, not to the right. We went over the breathing marks. We can go over and over it again. I have no problem with that. This is pronounced Amy. Amy. So if you state Amy, you have correctly pronounced the Greek form I am. Amy. It's not Amy. It's not Haney. It's Amy. The present indicative of Amy. Read this. As already observed, the most frequently occurring verb of the mu iota conjugation is Amy. I am. Grammarians label Amy, filiative verb, from the Latin capulo, I link together, because it links subject and predicate, as in 1 John 1:5. Ha theos phos estin, which means God is light. Ha theos, or actually, I'm sorry, I mispronounced that. Tha ha theos. It's not theos. Ha theos. Ha theos. Phos. Estin means God is light. Ha theos phos estin. God is light. Since eimi expresses a state of being rather than an action, it is neither active, middle, or passive voice. All right, so we can say, well, that's interesting. Mu iota verb conjugations apparently don't have voice when analyzing them. All right? And remember, when we look back at the six rules of identifying a Greek verb form, we have person, number, mood, voice, tense, aspect. Well, apparently, mu iota conjugations, which you won't run into a lot of in the New Testament, they don't have active middle, or what's the other one? They don't have voice. But we're going to go over that. We're going to go over voice. So, for mu iota conjugation, as far as I am is concerned, let's hold on a second. That bugs me. Hold on a second. Let's turn back to page 13 in the text. Page 13. You'll see voice there. We know that as far as voice is concerned, voice has three parts to it. There's active voice, middle voice, and passive voice. That's what I forgot. Active voice, middle voice, and passive voice. So for omega conjugated verbs, which are the major verbs, the major amount of verbs that we're going to run into in the Koine Greek New Testament, they're going to be omega conjugations. They will have active, passive, and middle voice. But the smaller amount of verbs in the Greek Koine Greek New Testament will be of the mu iota conjugation, of which I am is one of them. So let's turn back to page 22 in the text. Notice that on page 22, there is the paradigm or the breakdown of the mu iota verb I am. All right, and that's what you're going to be writing down on page 15 on the bottom of your workbook. All right. And we notice here, on page 22 in your text, for mu iota verb form, that it does not have voice to it. It doesn't have the same endings that the present active indicative omega verb forms have. It's kind of unique unto itself. All right, so when you're looking at this paradigm of I am, you should memorize it. All right, so let's look at this paradigm on page 22 for the mu iota conjugated form I am in the Koine Greek. Eimi, I am. E, you are. Est, he, she, or it is. Esmen, we are. Esta, you all are. And Acen, they are. Eimi, I am. A, you are. Estin, he, she, or it is. Esmen, Esmen, I'm sorry, Esmen, we are. Esta, you are. Asin, they are. I think that it would just do you well to memorize that because it's unique in a sense. But as far as the Koine Greek New Testament is concerned, to learn and to be able to translate I am, you are, he is, we are, you are, they are is very important, because you're going to find it a lot. Those forms you're going to find a lot of in studying your Koine Greek New Testament. So there we have. We have finished page 15 in the workbook, and we know how we got there. All right? We should know pretty well the answers on page 15 of the workbook and how we got there. That should be pretty clear by now. Now, page 16, turn to that in the workbook. Page 16 in the workbook is its own ball of wax in itself. And so we're going to leave that for next time. Let's go on page 17 in the workbook. We're going to analyze Koine Greek verbs as to how they're put together. All right, so we're going to do this, page 17 of the workbook, and that'll be it for today. But these principles are very important. We should not just go see the answers, look at them, and go eat your hamburger or something. You know, you gotta concentrate. Personally, for me, like, let's say when I'm reading, I don't know how good of a reader I am. I'm not... personally speaking, I do not have a photographic mind, nor am I a speed reader. And it always took me to work pretty hard in college to do well. But what I realize sometimes is I could sit there and look at something and not even be reading it. It's almost like staring at it. You're staring at a page and you're doing nothing. That's because you're not concentrating. And I think one of the major reasons why people don't know things is because it's not because they're not smart enough, it's because they don't concentrate. They don't put effort in it. And you can do the same thing in reading. I mean, if you don't put effort and energy into what you're reading, you're just going to be staring at the page. You know why I know that? Because I do it. That's why I know that. You can be looking at something and you're going, you're thinking, when do I get out of work, you know? Or, I can't wait till the ribs come. Or, I can't wait till I'm off on Saturday. You know, I mean, and you'll be looking at stuff, you won't even be concentrating. So, a lot of stuff in life takes concentration, and we're just lazy. I'm lazy. And so, you got to concentrate. So, having said all that, let's look on page 17 in the workbook. And it states this, analyze. The following Koine Greek verb forms, I added a few words there, have been divided into various components that make up the Koine Greek verb. Label each component using its grammatical term or label. One example is done for you, namely, lusamen. And you'll see that lusamen on the top of the page is broken down, it's parsed out into its component parts. You'll notice that lu, it's lexical morpheme or its root. Lexical is dictionary. It's dictionary root, lu. Then you have the future time morpheme, sigma. You have the connecting ball, omicron. And then you have the primary active suffix. In this, it's the first person plural, lusamen, or we will loose. It's not we loose because it's in the future. We have the future time morpheme, sigma in there. To translate lusamen, it's we will loose. All right, so that's what this exercise is, and we're going to get through this tonight. The next form, and try to pronounce this correctly, is akousita. Notice that it's not rough breathing. It's not hakousita, because that little comma over the alpha is to the left, not to the right. So it's akusata, and the accent is over the upsilon. Akusata. And what does this mean? Well, we know that the lexical morpheme, and you can look for you can look at what these verbs mean in the text on pages 18 and 19. I'm not going to do that. But the root aku means to hear. Okay, akusata. I'm just going to say it. It's in the plural. Because and it's in the future tense, because we have the sigma in there. We have aku, which is the lexical morpheme, and then we have the sigma, which is the future time morpheme, and then we have the connecting vowel, which is epsilon, and then we have the primary active suffix, the tau epsilon. So in parsing out this verb form, you should have a line between the upsilon and the sigma. You should have a line between the sigma and the first epsilon. And you should have a line between the epsilon and the tau. And so, in doing that, you'll have the lexical morpheme, aku, and then you have the future time morpheme, sigma, separated, and then you have the connecting vowel, epsilon, and then you have the primary active suffix, ta, which is in the second person plural. And what this means is you all will hear. Akusata. Alright, so we have that. Hallelujah. Next one is echo. It's not an echo. And this is means I have. It's in the first person singular. Because, and it's not in the future, because there is no future time morpheme. There's just the root, or the lexical morpheme, ek, which means to have. And then it has the first person singular ending, omega, I have. So you should have a line between the key and the omega. Echo, echo, I have. In the first person, singular. The next one is interesting, and it is the Greek verb form esteem. Esteem. Now, this one was kind of interesting, and I'm not going to go to this, but you can go to page 22 and 23 to figure this one out. At first, I thought, well, this doesn't have a root form to it. A lexical morpheme form at all, but it actually does. And let's look at that. Let's go to page 22. And the root form of this is S, epsilon sigma. Turn to page 23. It took me a couple of minutes to notice this. All right. Now you go down and go down on page 23 in your textbook. And you'll notice in B, mu iota verb, which we know as ami, and it means I am. But you look in the parentheses there, and it has the root form S, which means is. And that's the root of I am. It's S. You get that? So when you break down esteen, it does have a root. It's epsilon, and then you have a line between the sigma and the tau, and it is esteem, and it means he is in the singular. According to page 22, the conjugation of the mu iota verb ami. But what I'm pointing out here is that ami does have a root to it. All right, and that's what page 23 tells you there. The root is I am, or the root is is. I'm sorry, the root is. Do you see that? And is in the Greek is s. All right, you're just going to have to piece that all together. Okay, so I'm running over here, but I'm going to finish this page. All right. The next one is blepe, going on page 17 of the workbook. Blepe. And the ending there is in the first person singular. Blep is the root or the lexical morpheme, which means to see. And what you should have is you should have a line between the P and the epsilon, because blep is the root, and epsilon iota is the ending, is the primary active suffix. Blepe means he, she, or it sees. Third person singular. Moving on to the next one. We have pathamin. Pathamin. And pathamin is in the first person plural. What it means is we trust in. You'd have to turn to page to find, you'd have to turn to page 23 in the text, and kind of two-thirds down the page, you see the verb form patho. Patho means I trust. I trust in. While pathamin means we trust in. The lexical morpheme or the root is path. Then you should have a line between the theta and the omicron. And then you should have a line between the omicron and the men. I mean, between the omicron and the mu. Because the omicron there is the connecting vowel. So you have pathamin, we trust in. It's in the first person plural. It's not in the future, it's in the present. All right, we got three more to go. All right, and then we're done. The next one is keruseta. Keruseta. And what this means is all in the plural preach. You preach. All of you preach. You all preach. And it's in the present tense, because if we look over on page 23 again, we notice kind of halfway down the page, in the first person singular, we have keruso. Keruso, and that means I preach in the first person singular. It's not in the future, because in the future, if you look by that form, keruso, you move to the right a little and it says keruxo. Keruxo. Keruso means I will preach. Keruso means I preach. Alright, so we go back to the workbook and we see kerusata, and we notice that that's in the present tense. And lexical morpheme or the root is kerus, means to preach. The connecting vowel, you should have a line between the sigma and the epsilon. The connecting vowel is the epsilon. And the primary active suffix is in the second person plural. Kerusata. You all preach. The next one is pronounced soze. Soze. Remember the zeta there is pronounced with a DZ sound. Soze. Soze. That's how you pronounce that correctly. Soze. It's not sadze, it's not sadze, it's not soze, it's soze. You notice the pronunciation, you notice the accent. Soze. Well, if you look on page 23, again, I'm going, pretty, step by step through this, so you guys can do this as we go on. You guys will be able to figure this out yourselves. It's pretty nitpicky and rules and nodding along and stuff like that, but this is it. This is how you learn it. Soze, we notice that two-thirds down the page, the Greek verb form sozo means I save. Sozo. And we notice over here that, this has the first person or third person singular ending, soze. And so this means he, she, or it saves in the present tense, and you should have a line between the zeta, and the epsilon. He saves, or he, she, or it saves in the third person singular, soze. And the last one for tonight is in the future tense. And it is the Greek form, verb form, pistousosin. It's not pistousosin. It's not pistousosin. It's pistousosin. Remember, it's iota, not iota. Pistousosin. We notice that the accent is on the upsilon. Pistousosin. And what this means is this is in the third person, plural, they will, because it has the future time morpheme sigma there. And we could look on page 23, and we notice that the first person plural form of I believe is pistuso. Pistuso. You see that on page 23. Well, then we notice over here on the workbook on page 17 that this form has the third person plural ending of usin. Pistousosin. And it has the lexical morpheme or the root pistou, which means to believe. It has the future time morpheme sigma in there, and it has the primary active suffix they. Pistousosin. They will believe. Alright, so that is the lesson for tonight. We got through two pages of the workbook, but these foundational rules we have to get hammered into our heads. And so just keep on working with this. Next week, certainly we're going to look over page 16 in the workbook. We'll probably get to page 18 in the workbook. And those two pages are pretty hefty as far as knowledge is concerned. So we might be in this, lesson three of this workbook for another three times, another three lessons. But it's very, very important. And the reason that I'm going slowly over all this is so that you guys can how this is all put together. To get the right answers and not understand it, you're wasting your time. Okay, now Peace and Faith said only three parts to the last one. Well, let's look at, that's a good question. You could say, well, where's the connecting vowel to pistousin or pistousin? Can you do that one again? All right. Well, see, what's interesting is you look on page 18, everybody, of the textbook. Look on page 18 of the textbook. Look at the top paradigm. You'll notice that third person plural, usin, up there. Do you see that? You'll notice that it doesn't appear to have a connecting like amen or eta does. Can you see that? So, the reason why I thought that this last one only has three parts to it is because I didn't see a connecting vowel. Otherwise, it would be pistus, pistus, ausi, ausi. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I'm not sure, on the top of page 18 in the text, if usin has a connecting vowel. If it does, then I suppose it would be the omicron in usin. But according to this text, he didn't break it down that way. Do you see that? Does that make sense to you? Where are the lines? Okay. What? Yeah, where are the lines? As far as I'm concerned, it seems as though on the last one does not seem to have a connecting vowel. If it does, it's the omicron after the sigma. If it does. I'm not sure. That's where I'm not sure. I don't know. Personally speaking, I don't know if omicron is the connecting vowel of the practice suffix usin. Consonant, I don't know. First sigma. Yeah. Oh, the second sigma, I'm sorry. I made a mistake. The second sigma. Alright, so let's go over this again. Pistusosin. Okay. You should have a line between the upsilon and the first sigma. That's the root, or the lexical morpheme. You should have a line after the first sigma and before the first omicron, or before the omicron. The sigma there is the future time morpheme. And then you have the primary active suffix, usi. Now, I am not personally sure if that omicron is a connecting vowel, because according to the text on page 18, he doesn't separate it. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you see that? So I'm not sure about that. So the reason why I only have three parts of pistusosin, pistusosin, pistususin, is because of that omicron there. I'm not sure about it. It has a movable nu. That's correct. It has a movable nu. But as far as the movable nu is concerned, that isn't what analyzing in this this analyzing on page 17 wasn't about the movable nu at all. So a line should be between the upsilon and the second sigma. The second sigma and the omicron. Alright? And that's why I got three parts to this one. So if you want to call the omicron there an usin vowel, you could do so, but I'm not sure if that's correct. So that's how I got that. Alright? So, there you have it, and we ran over, but, you know, these are all really important fundamental things that you got to know, so that it'll all make sense. If you just blew over these things and you don't know how we got to them, you're wasting your time. You know, you really are. And so, next time, page 16 and page 18 in the workbook, and see, these pages contain a lot of information in the answers. And if we don't go over them and figure out how we get the answers, we're wasting our time. And that's why this is taking time. But it's great. And so I'm going to see you next week on the 16th, pages 16 and 18 in the workbook. Thanks for being here. I'm glad that you guys got the gumption to be with me here on these Saturday nights. All right, well, maybe with Jen. All right, well, yeah. Will somebody be able to open the room? I know, yeah, I spoke to Jen a day or two ago. She's doing well. So, I don't know, does Jan have a access to Pal Talk? All right, well. Yeah, hey, thanks, you're welcome. If you have access and you, okay, well, I guess what I'm going to do there, Doherty, is I'm gonna do it. Maybe I can do it again. We need to Doherty before dark. Okay, well, thanks a lot for being with us, and we'll just keep on going. And if we need to go over it and over it, well, we will do that. And, by the way, eventually, in the textbook, I'm going to go over lesson number 9, which is personal pronouns. Eventually, I'm going to do that some night. But this workbook is awesome, as far as I'm concerned. It's awesome, and we are leaps and bounds from knowing what an alpha and an omega is, even though you might not know it. So thanks very much, and we thank our dear Heavenly Father through His Son, the Lord and Savior Christ Jesus, the Lamb of God, the Creator of all things. Amen.